Back in on Canucks Central, it's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. JanPro, from waiting rooms to exam rooms and everything in between, JanPro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit janpro.ca. Let's bring in our next guest. He is our Thursday analyst. It is Landon Ferraro. What's happening, Landon?
Not too much, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing all right. We are debating the merits of a moral victory, which is what some would describe as the way the Canucks played against the Capitals last night. 2-1, they lose it in overtime. Overtime's always crazy at 3-on-3, but, you know, Logan Thompson had to stand on his head to keep that game at 1-1, to keep the Canucks at bay. For players, is there such thing as a moral victory?
For sure there is. You definitely, especially when your team's going through a tough time, whether it's self-inflicted or injuries and things like that, on healthy nights, you're not going to win every single game. And especially when things aren't going great, but you're trying to find your way and find your style and how you need to play to keep yourself competitive while you're trying to figure everything out. But they played extremely well. They should really be proud of the way that their effort came in. They end up with over 30 shots and they control a lot of it. It's a good game, and just some bounces didn't go their way.
I mean, we were talking about this in the opening segment, and if you want to take the positive outlook, you can look at their trend the last few games, especially the last couple, and they've made mistakes, of course, and there are things they have to clean up. There's no doubt about it. But do they maybe look like a team that's going through a tough stretch, but they're getting out of it almost, but haven't got the bounces yet?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, this team has... It feels so much darker here than it actually is, with everything that's been going on, and the record doesn't look great, but at the same time, they're still holding on to the second wild card. They're still fully in it. And if you asked before the season, with everything that's gone on, if you sat down right now and listed off before the season everything that was going to happen, I don't think I would have them in a playoff spot. I'd have them right down near the bottom. So, I mean, you have to take the good pieces out of it and just keep trying to build with the thought of, we're getting more reinforcements. Hronek has been skating more. He's down in Abbotsford now. So there's some help. You know that there's going to be, some sort of a move coming, whether it's, rather quickly or, a bit of time away. There is reinforcements that are going to be coming. So it's just about trying to get your team moving and playing as soundly as you can.
It does feel like their defensive game is starting to round out. I know they've still had a problem with some blown leads here, so they've got to clean that up. But aside from stretches in games where they kind of lose it and they lose their composure a little bit, it's felt like they've done a really good job at suppressing shots. Certainly last night that was a thing, and keeping teams on the outside, being really tough to allow teams to not really gain speed through the neutral zone. Some of the things, the staples we saw last year, seem to be coming into play again for this club.
Yeah, and what everything that you just said, what that all leads to is a team that's playing connected and together. There's no way to pick up the defensive side if not everyone is bought into the commitment of playing good, solid team defense and being able to keep teams to the outside. It sounds so easy to keep a team to the outside, sink in, but it's pretty easy to get picked apart if you just sit back. To keep a team on the outside, you need to be committed to keeping your feet moving, being aggressive every time there's a bobbled puck in the D zone. You're surrounding it. Everything has to be dialed in, and that's how a team can, kind of help their situation when they're not at their best and have their best players in. It's about being a team. That's how you can make the difference.
And as far as, you know, how some of these guys have fared so far, and, you know, we talk so much about what they need to do with the blue line, but if you look at how each guy has been defending the last little while, is there something positive to be taken from guys like Vinny Desharnais, for instance? Like, does it look like he's found something here as far as a role and finding a little bit of consistency with his game?
Yeah, I mean, since the time that it was said that, you know, they're trying to find him another spot because it just wasn't working for either team, and then all of a sudden there's a couple more injuries, and then he has to play. And, you know, like you and me, Sat, were talking about it during one of the games, and, like, it almost looked like he just said, like, I have nothing to lose here. I just need to go play. And ever since that point, he's looked rather solid. Like, he's more what was advertised when he was signed here. And, you know, anytime that you can have a player that's his size and start to figure it out within your system and get his, you know, his game up to speed, like, it's going to help. Like, anytime you can have someone with that type of a wingspan and cover so much space, like you see it with Tyler Myers, like, it is a real asset. So that's not something you want to move from right away. It just wasn't working early, but with the expanded time and opportunity because of the situation, like, he's really kind of found himself into a decent spot again.
That all being said, this stretch, it's really highlighted how much they could use that upgrade on defense. It's just so much is on Quinn Hughes' shoulders. They don't generate much of anything when he's not on the ice, and that's, you know, a bit of theme. Like, one of the reasons they are having so much trouble winning some of these games, they can't score. And if Quinn Hughes isn't on the ice, they have a really hard time generating any kind of offense. And ultimately, I think this season is dependent on the type of acquisition they make to help out the back end.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong with that. And it's not going to get easier for the Canucks either. Like, I mean, just look at over their next five games. It's, you know, Carolina, Toronto, Winnipeg, LA, and Edmonton. Like, that's not an easy five-game segment. You know, it's interesting in the fact that they obviously need that help, but if anything, and again, it's me just basically agreeing with you here, but at the same time, like, yes, Quinn Hughes can play 27 minutes if he has to, but, you know, if they can find a way to get him closer to 24 or 5, well, maybe he's got a bit more pop every time he's on the ice. Like, for a guy that's so explosive and so quick with the way that he can move his feet and get around the ice, like, you know, an extra couple minutes of someone else being able to take that ice time and not just fill it and kill the time, but really, you know, keep the game pushing forward as Quinn Hughes does. If he can do it to some level, like, it's only going to help in the long run with Quinn Hughes, keeping him a little more juiced up, a little more energy in the tank.
And, you know, for all the talk around Elias Pettersson and JT Miller turned in maybe his best game of the season in Montreal against the Habs, where he had the 4-point performance. And I thought he was pretty good last night against the Capitals, yeah, too, going head-to-head, playing physical, and he was skating hard as well. And you know, we don't know exactly what he was dealing with, and I think it is naive to say whatever he was dealing with is all of a sudden, you know, gone away and he's overcome it. It's probably something that you're working through throughout the year or two, and who knows how much longer, but that's usually how these things go, that it's hard to say, okay, this is who he's going to be, but doesn't look like he's turning a corner here.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, it's tough. Like, he takes that leave and he's obviously dealing with some stuff, and you want him to come back into the lineup and be the same type of fiery player, because that is his engine. Like, he needs to be emotional. He needs to let some of that take over him. Does it go too far sometimes? 100% it does, but, like, he knows that too. But at the same time, like, I'm taking JT Miller as an angry player every game, right? Like, watching him when Dubois goes in and starts going after Hughes a bit, and then Wilson comes in after Sherwood right away, and then out of nowhere, out of the frame, you just see Miller come in from the top rope and take Wilson down. Like, that's the type of JT Miller this team needs. Like, they need pushback. They need some fire in it. And I see his game slowly, you know, not slowly even, like, it's coming back, And, you know, it's a good sign for the team. Like, you know, we talked about it the other night again, Sat, like the fact that Dakota Joshua was showing some signs of some physicality and stuff, and then, you know, sadly he's back out of the lineup. Like, this team needs some more grit. It needs that, just that final bit that, you know, can push through that last little bit of adversity, and maybe that's the difference between, you know, overtime losses and wins.
You know, you bring up the Dubois and Hughes situation, and I know listening to a little bit of the post game last night, some people were looking for more. I don't know if they wanted full on blood or what. They wanted more, but I think Miller is a big part of that conversation. Not only in that scrum, but like the rest of the game, he's going after Wilson a little bit. It just feels like, you know what, if you're gonna go after one of our guys, well, Miller understands I got to go after one of their guys to try and make sure to keep people off Hughes as best you can, which is never going to happen completely, especially now that guys know Hughes is hurt and he's got that contraption on his hand. Guys are going to go after Hughes any chance they get.
For sure. And when a guy is that good, if you can, you know, take him down a percent or two each game, like, you're going to take that opportunity. It's only giving your team a better chance. But, like, it's funny, like, you know, I was earlier today talking radio in Edmonton, and, you know, they had the situation with Zadorov running Skinner last night, and, you know, they're saying, like, should have anyone done anything? Well, like, what are they going to do? Like, he's such a massive human, and in the Canucks side, like, you want to see something bigger happen, but, like, the team is already needing everybody to be in at all times to have a chance to win and be competitive, because, like, this team has to be a team to win. And say JT Miller goes off the handle and he's in the box for half a period, mm-hmm. like, that's not helping the team either. So I like the tactic of, you know, you do what you can right there, but then it's exactly what you said Miller was doing. Like, every time he was on the ice, he was finishing checks. He was making sure guys, you know, felt it. And I think that's important. It's like, team toughness throughout a game is bigger than just jumping in at one moment.
You know, the thing that really got a lot of people going last night too, outside of the physical aspect, was when Quinn was in the box and his penalty expired and they were on the second part of the power play and he wasn't able to get out of the box because there was no whistle. And, you know, we had people screaming and yelling about, why don't they go offside, get the whistle, get Quinn Hughes out there on the ice. In that situation, should they have tried for a whistle a bit harder to get Quinn Hughes out there so he didn't miss not only the final 2 minutes of the power play, but also an extra 4 minutes and 20 seconds after that?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you have zone time, yeah, like, you're already in the zone on the power play, like, you play that out, because it's hard to get possession in zone. Like, you play that out, but if it pops back out, it's probably the smarter decision to just get them to touch it. But, I mean, like, it's, you got to remember, there's a lot going on, and yes, they're NHL players and they should be aware of everything that's happening, but think about when a team's on a power play and the team on the PK takes another penalty and the ref's got his arm up. Like, half the time, until people start yelling, the guys don't even notice that the arm's up. So now think about, you already are on the power play, but you need a whistle to get someone out of a coincidental penalty. Like, that's a lot to remember and realize. But as soon as that power play is done, it's like, you need to blow that down immediately then. Like, if you're not sitting in zone for the full 2 minutes.
Yeah, it was frustrating.
it's frustrating. It's guaranteed it's something the guys look back after the game and be like, Jesus, like, I didn't even realize it was that long.
Right.
Yeah.
It ended up being, like, he was in the box for 6 minutes and 22 seconds off a 2 minute minor.
That's a big win for Washington right there.
How many minutes did he end up playing?
20. He would have been over 30 if he is to stay in the box for 6 minutes.
Well,
man, if I had to sit in a box for 6 minutes, my minutes would have been at like a minute 10 at that point.
Yeah. I mean, we've heard defensemen say, like, was it Victor Hedman say he could play all 60 minutes if he really had to?
I mean, I could see it, man, especially a few years ago. Like, that guy takes three strides and he's up from hash mark to hash mark at either end. It's unbelievable.
He looks like a Viking playing hockey sometimes, man. Like, that guy's insane.
So big.
Yeah, he's massive.
So effortless.
He makes it look way too easy. It's ridiculous, but we don't need to go ahead and go off on talking about Victor Hedman here. But, you know, I think, you know, this Canucks squad, you mentioned they're so dependent on their star players, and a lot of this season will come down to their star players playing well, and we know as long as Quinn is healthy, he's going to give you that. And, you know, JT's played a lot better, and I think we're all really intrigued to see what we see from Elias Pettersson. We're all hoping he plays tomorrow in Carolina, and it seems like he will. Now, we'll see, obviously, what happens. It's one of those situations where the team, based on what Tock had said, feels like it's up to him where he feels on it, but he's been cleared to play. But if he can show another level, is that kind of the shot in the arm this team kind of needs and this fan base needs heading into the second half?
I mean, any help right now is very welcome. Yes, getting him back in the lineup, and especially if he's, you know, back to being a little more firm, a little more direct with his plays like he was on a little stretch before he got hurt. Yeah, that would obviously be a massive, massive boost back into the Canucks roster. But, I mean, I think, again, like it really, you're waiting for Hronek. You're waiting for if there's going to be a move coming into the back end. Like you guys were talking about earlier, like, they need to find another way to get some more pucks moving on the back end. And I think the year really kind of rests on that.
It really does. The trade deadline is going to be super interesting. How, you know, this next little stretch goes. It feels like they're pretty comfortable in a wild card spot, even though it does at times seem kind of tenuous. It feels like some of these games are eventually going to start flipping for them. And I'm not too worried about Calgary or Utah for as much as, yeah, the Canucks have scuffled a little bit. It just feels like they've got to find a little bit of a groove here. And I think they realize that too. You know, all the messaging, it seems like, you know, we've heard about the Miller and Pettersson thing ad nauseum. It's just constantly in the news. It's gotten national play now, and the trade rumors have picked up. But we heard Pettersson speak to Ian McIntyre, Thatcher Demko, Quinn Hughes. JT Miller has spoken about it when he was asked with media. Rick Tocchet has all said it too. They all understand that one thing makes this all go away. If we start winning games, the noise quiets down. And I think if they get all on the same page in that way, that's something they can rally around and really build into the second half with. At least that's the glass half full idea of it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's an interesting situation because there's so much up in the air because you haven't seen this team once this season all together and knowing what that actually looks like. And, you know, as the season moves here, you're running out of time to find that stride and start putting some wins together. Like, you know, the teams on top are going to keep pulling away, and the teams below are going to take turns getting hot. Like, the Canucks need to find a way to string a couple together here, and then, you know, kind of get into that, you know, more so like, you know, a three wins, one loss kind of stretches instead of back and forth and a lot of overtimes. Like, they need to find a way to start banking some points because it doesn't matter, you know, the league doesn't care what's been going on with your team individually. Like, the teams are coming in, they're going to play, they need the points just like you do, and they're not going to take it easy on you. So you're going to have to find a way here while you're holding water till those guys get back. And then even when they do, like, you need to be able to kind of buckle down and know that, hey, this next little stretch here is, you know, is super important to us. The, you know, our playoffs kind of hang in the balance.
But before we let you go, what was your reaction to the overtime goal last night? The way Myers and DeBrusk both chased into the corner.
Yeah, it seemed like a team that has lost a couple, and I am using the word couple nicely, a couple times in overtime.
Yeah.
And it just turned to kind of mini might just chase the puck around.
Yeah.
But, like, they were so far apart, like, you couldn't even see anyone else in the frame. It just looked like the puck squirting to the middle, and then all of a sudden, well, there's someone there.
Yeah. Well, you know, since we're talking about some controversial moments and maybe some mistakes, and the other one from the other night in Montreal against the Habs was the Nils Höglander interference call on Josh Anderson without a stick. And, you know, Tocchet spoke about it yesterday too and said, hey, the first one, you kind of get away with it. That's okay. You can't make the second mistake, even if it is a little bit soft. But when you don't have your stick, like, how careful do you have to be in that situation?
You got to be really careful because it's so easy. It doesn't matter how you go to kind of close on someone or go play, make a play on the puck if someone has it. When you don't have your stick, it's so easy to just grab on. So, like, you almost have to go in with, like, the most awkward stance and posture, like keeping your arms so tucked in that, you know, you're almost, you know, making sure the ref sees that I have no extension, like I'm not grabbing on anywhere. But, like, again, that's just, it's a bit, or not a bit, it's a frustration play. And, you know, he knocks the first one down and they'll kind of let that one slide. But, you know, like Tocchet was right, like, they're not going to let multiple things go. Like, they kind of let you have your anger point and let it get out. And then all of a sudden you push another guy over, like, I can't let you go now.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's something you got to learn, and it's tough because he, you know, Höglander has been playing,
yeah,
you know, much better, not just a little better, but he's been playing much better.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that that's the part here where you're hoping that doesn't take away from the way he's played. And he had some decent moments the other night too. I mean, last night in Washington as well. And Tocchet mentioned how if you lose your stick, you got to get to the other side of the ice. And that's something that, you know, I guess in the moment it's hard to kind of remember and do, right? Like to be like, hey, I got to switch with the other winger and he's got to come here with a stick.
Yeah, and honestly, like, as much as Höglander needs to know that, that's, again, like, your teammates are out there, your line mates are out there, too. Like, they're the ones watching from afar. They're not the one now with a stick lost. And, you know, you're kind of not panicking, but you have to, like, you're working so much harder just because you don't have a stick. And you know you got to keep covering different lanes and making them at least have to think to get the puck around you. Like, it's as simple as the other winger yelling, hey, like, Hoagie, switch. And you already start moving, and now he has no choice to get to the other side. Like, you know, everyone can help each other. It's no different than any other part on the ice. Like, there's always a teammate that can help with talk. And that's the biggest difference between, like, playing in junior and then getting to pro. Like, that was what I noticed the most, other than the skill and that stuff, was the amount of talk on the ice. Like, you always knew what was going on because no matter what, someone was talking. And it would made it makes the game so much easier.
Landon, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for this.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
There is Landon Ferraro, Canucks analyst, joining us here on Canucks Central, as he does every single Thursday. Tones on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Talk even explained what Hoggs should have done once he lost his stick, was switched to the blue line side. It happened to Garland last night, and he did it to perfection. I don't know. I mean, Pettersson has needed a goal at different points this year. Certainly last year in the playoffs, he could have used a goal or two to get the monkey off his back and maybe get some confidence going. But I don't know if I've ever seen a player need a goal more than Nils Höglander needs one right now.
No, and honestly, like
the offside situation last night, I mean, he's just like, he's getting himself into so many ugly situations because he's just trying so hard to get out of his funk.
And he's done a lot of good things, but yeah, he's still forcing it. And I can't imagine how hard it is to not try to force something when you're on a 30-plus game goalless drought. Like,
yeah,
it's insane, right? And I'm at the point where I do think he's done so many good things that I feel for the kid that it's not even so much of like, you know, when we talk Brännström, I roll my eyes. I'm like, let's not talk about that. This guy's not helping the team. Let's not talk about it. But like, Höglander's been doing a lot of good things.
Yeah.
You know, and you just hope he gets the goal because I do think he can have a pretty hot second half. I doubt he's going to get 20 goals or anything this season, but can he get 12, 13 in the second half? That would be huge, right? And I think he has it within him to do something like that. And he just kind of needs that one goal.
He needs something to go his way because every little mistake he makes seems to really blow up in his face right now. Even, you know, aside from, it's one of those things like he's doing a lot of things better. His process has gotten a lot better lately, and he's not getting rewarded for it. And that's when, you know, you really start to feel for a player because, you know, you hope that they don't lose trust in the process while that's all happening. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. As the pre-show tweet explained, a Mailbag Friday is coming up today. And there was a text or a response to the tweet. It's Thursday, you idiots. Well, yes, we know.
We're not going to call it Mailbag Thursday.
No.
That's ridiculous. What a silly name that would be.
It's Mailbag Friday on a Thursday.
Yes. Because tomorrow we have a,
abbreviated show.
Abbreviated show. Thank you for having that word ready for me. An abbreviated show from 2 to 3 with the Canucks in Carolina. So there's no time.
No, we have Yannick and the Open.
Yeah. There's no time for a Mailbag.
Would they consider moving the Canucks game back so we can do Mailbag Friday?
Don't think that's a possibility.
Fair.
No. And we've already kind of committed to doing it on a Thursday.
Yeah.
So
it's Mailbag Thursday coming up here.
Whoa, no. Mailbag Friday on a Thursday.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Now I screwed it up.
Yes.
Mailbag Friday on a Thursday. Looking for your favorite culinary content? Food Network has all new seasons of your favorite food shows on Channel 410 on Rogers Xfinity TV. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, Canuck Central.
Discussing the biggest stories that matter to Vancouver sports fans. Halford and Brough in the morning. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.